Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Yesterday, we watched as perhaps more than a million people gathered in central Cairo peacefully. Huge numbers of people gathered without a single incident of violence, as far as we could see. Today, it's a very different picture coming out of Cairo. We have clashes between pro-government supporters and anti-government supporters. And among all of these demonstrations, the role of women has surprised a lot of people. Joining us now is Mona El-Tahawi, columnist and speaker on Muslim and Arab issues. Good morning, Mona.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
We are hearing reports that the mood in Egypt has changed dramatically over the past 24 hours. Is that what you're seeing and hearing as well?
Absolutely. The internet has finally been allowed somewhat. There was a total shutdown, and I'm seeing from my activist friends who are on Twitter, who are at Tahrir Square and elsewhere, writing to say that yesterday they were totally safe in this huge march, the Million Man March that you mentioned. But today it's very different. It's very tense. Pro-Mubarak protesters, who many people believe are thugs that the state has sent out, have infiltrated the big presence at Tahrir Square, and people believe that they were sent intentionally to try to cause violence. And because, as you said, the protests so far have been incredibly peaceful.
Well, you know, yesterday when we were speaking to reporters in Cairo, they were talking about how surprised they were to see families, to see women gathering in Tahrir Square, holding the hands of their children. Have the women now fled away from the scenes of escalating violence?
Oh, no, absolutely not. Several of the women I know are tweeting as we speak, saying, people come out, we need more numbers, they're just trying to scare us away. From the very beginning, Egyptian women have been involved in this revolution. In fact, many people credit one young woman called Asma Mahfouz with the 6th of April movement, youth movement, of basically helping to start this revolution by filming herself in what is known as a V-blog, where she basically addresses Egypt and says, look, four people have set themselves on fire out of desperation. One of them died today. How long are we going to wait to do something? I'm going out on the street on January the 25th. That was the date of the planned protest. Everybody must join me now. So here you had a call from a young woman that obviously touched many people's hearts. And we've seen many other women on Facebook, and their pictures have gone around the world. Women are definitely a part of this revolution.
There have been a few women in Egypt who've expressed some doubts or concerns over the role of the Muslim Brotherhood. They're suspicious that the Brotherhood will co-opt what they say is a spontaneous popular movement and bring in a more religiously rigid system. I want you to listen to this comment from Nick Kristoff with our partner, The New York Times.
I've talked to Christians, to women, to all kinds of groups that, you know, one might reasonably worry might come out of the short end of a more democratic state, and they all say that, you know, fundamentally Egypt is paralyzed and autocratic, and that is not good for anybody, including them.
That's Kristoff speaking on our new daily podcast. It's called Wave of Change, Unrest in Egypt and the Arab World. You can subscribe at thetakeaway.org. But Mona El-Tahawi, what is the concerns over the women in Egypt, over the future direction of the country, and whether or not it might turn towards more religious lines?
You know, I can assure you that none of the people I follow, all my activist friends in Egypt, have this concern, because we know that the Muslim Brotherhood is there in Egypt and they do have a following. But they're just one of many groups that has a following, and one of many groups that has been taking part in this revolution in the making that we've been watching for the past, you know, 8 or 9 days now. What many people, you know, Egypt has turned a corner. It's very important to appreciate what has been happening in Egypt over the past week or so. And that is the people, you know, this mass uprising, coming out onto the streets and telling a dictator, we are done and we're not going to put up with you anymore. And that also puts on notice any future leader of Egypt that the people now have woken up to their power, and they will not let you or, you know, whatever group you come from, lead us in, you know, or be tyrannical and sit, you know, on Egypt, on the powers of Egypt in the way that Hosni Mubarak has done. So I think whatever government Egypt ends up having, I'm sure that the Muslim Brotherhood will be involved somehow, because they represent some Egyptians, but you have liberals, you have communists, you have centrists. people from all walks of life, and that's the whole point of what's been going on in Egypt. And they will not be able to control the country as a dictatorship in the way that Mubarak has done, because the people have put them on notice.
Although they may try, and we're seeing pictures on the streets of Cairo of tear gas now, the clash is getting more violent, or at least more aggressive. Mona El-Tahawi, I'm wondering if, and looking around the region, are women a force of moderation and consensus building in the Arab world, or are they a source of radicalism, or are they basically a part of the full spectrum?
It's definitely the full spectrum, because I mean, and obviously each country has its own specific conditions, but you'll find in some countries that women support more liberal movements, and I know many young women who are involved in civil society groups and social media that they use to talk about sexuality, for example, and to smash taboos. I know other women who are involved in more Islamist movements that are more conservative and considered more traditional. I mean, they definitely reflect the kind of the spectrum of society, but as far as Egypt is concerned, you know, as far back as 1919, the Egyptian revolution of the last century, women have been involved in activism and street activism. And just a couple of days ago, in fact, one of Egypt's most famous feminists, Nawal Qadawi, gave several interviews from Tahrir Square saying, look, you know, I'm 80 years old, I'm here, and I'm here along with many other women in this country. And you can be sure that women as well as men across the region are watching with great interest what's happening in Egypt.
Well, Mona El-Tahawi, what can we expect in the days ahead? Should we assume that as the protesters become more intransigent, that they're going to stay until Mubarak leaves, and as the pro-government supporters become more aggressive, that the violence is going to escalate?
Well, what I'm hearing from my activist friends who are taking part in, basically, that this is become a city now, exactly a square, they refuse to leave, and their chant is, he will leave, we will stay. So I see them, you know, holding on. My main concern is the violence that these pro-Mubarak so-called supporters are bringing in. Because for a country that has not had the police force on the street for the past 5 days, there has been no violence, which is wonderful. It's a wonderful way to break the stereotype of, you know, Arabs being violent. There have been no incidents of violence. The only incidents of violence have come from pro-Mubarak supporters. My hope is that the revolutionaries in Tahrir Square continue to push for a peaceful resolution to this, do not give in, and that the Mubarak regime understands it's finished and that Mubarak steps down.
Mona El-Tahawi, columnist and public speaker on Arab and Muslim issues. We spoke with her. She's on a cell phone in New York. Thanks so much, Mona.